digression to Palm Sunday and to Easter Sunday in this sense. You'll recall that the Cleopas and his companion on the road to Emmaus made this remark while Jesus was with them unpacking the scriptures. Did not our hearts burn within us? And did not our hearts burn within us? That's one of my desires for each of you as you read the Word of God. It's generally true for me. Sometimes it's so convicting my heart doesn't burn. I'm a little distressed. But chapter 3, that's page 977 in our blue pew Bible. Chapter 3, verse 14. This lays the foundation for everything else from here on to the end of the book. So chapter 3, 14 and following is the entree to chapters 4 and 5. And you cannot, it's not possible to fulfill what God's going to share with us in chapters 4 and 5 if we've not gotten a little bit of a handle on chapter 3. So chapter 3 is crucial in this. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Please understand this. The angels don't have families in heaven. They don't procreate. So what are the families in heaven? Well, it's our loved ones that have gone before us, that know the Lord as their Savior. So Laura's there with her mom and dad and many others. So every family in heaven, as well as those of us who remain on earth, were named because of our Heavenly Father who gave us new birth through the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us family. That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner person. Well, what's this prayer about? Frankly, this prayer is going to end up in chapter 5, around verses 19 and 20. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. What a command. Be filled with the Spirit. Well, Paul had prayed already here that God might grant them to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner being. Some of the result of that in your life and mine is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord. And I got to ask you a question, and it's probably true for me as it is for you. When's the last time you just spontaneously sung to the Lord? When's the last time you had what's that character, that penguin on Toy Story?
Wheezy.
Wheezy? Is that it? I would have called it Squeaky, so I think it's Wheezy. When's the last time you said, I feel a song coming on, and it's between you and the Lord because of what God's been doing? I have to confess to you, it's been a while. I used to sing daily to the Lord just spontaneously, and so much has happened. I've lost so much over the years that kind of dried up. That well went dry, sadly. It's starting to come back. I'm grateful for that. But it's been a while. Does that mean I wasn't filled with the Spirit? I don't know that that's the case. There's reasons I'll share with you in a moment about that. But here, Paul bows his knees before the Father, praying that each of these believers in Ephesus would be strengthened with power through His Spirit in their inner being. Then later, he writes, now you all be filled with the Spirit. So what had he done before he actually proposed to them this new command? He prayed about the very thing he was going to write to them about. Now, you may have something on your heart concerning various matters, but have you spent the appropriate amount of time praying that God would show up and be in that before you even utter a word or not? Sometimes it's like it's better not to say something, but are you sure it's time not to say something? Because Paul says, with regard to the gospel, share it in season and out of season. So that's a curiosity there. But have you prayed? Have you prayed about the things that are on your heart that you want to talk about? Have you prayed sufficiently? Paul prays that they might be strengthened in the inner person before he ever says, now I don't want you to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. I would like to change that word as we work our way down to being filled with the Spirit. I'd like to change that word to being influenced. I think it'll make it easier for us in our Western culture to think in terms of influenced. Be influenced by the Holy Spirit. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray that you might, yes, influence us by the Holy Spirit. That you might strengthen each of us in the inner being of our lives. Oh, how we need it there. It's just so easy for us to have all kinds of perturbations. We're just frustrated, angry, we're perturbed. It's just easy for us to have these things. Or on the other end of the spectrum, kind of like a seesaw, we're depressed, we're despairing, we're weeping, and back and forth, and much of life seems to us to be so chaotic and unstable. But we would like to walk in such a fashion that we're strengthened in our inner being. And so we ask you to influence us today and throughout the weeks to come by the Holy Spirit. Would you please do that? We thank you. We'll be marveling at how you'll do it, I know. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just finish up this little bit here because it lays the foundation for chapter 5, which none of us can fulfill regarding these great ambitions that the Lord has for us in our relationships with each other. And so Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith that you, being rooted and grounded in love. I can't tell you enough how, whether it's at your job, your friendships with each other, that we need to understand what genuine love is in all those relationships. And it's going to express itself differently. My love for men comes across as respect. It's a mutual respect, which I need to extend, and I do, in various ways. And there are all kinds of levels for this. So I'm just using that as a simple illustration. We could go on with that some other time. But you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, length, height, and depth. And I've often wondered, the strength, is that strength for mental strength? Is that for mental cognition? I remember when I was writing the dissertation, it took 3 years. My research was just deep. You have to go down to basic primary sources. You have to address all their concerns and everything. The Lord helped me do that successfully. I'm glad Seth and my wife were here at the office for the 3 hours it took for me to defend that dissertation. That was very distressing. So I'm glad for people that pray for me during the process. But they were very satisfied. They said I'd answered every one of their questions to their satisfaction, which is unusual. I needed to be strengthened in the inner person, and God put people around me to help me with that. This you need to be strengthened by, but it goes beyond just grasping things, and that'll make your head hurt. I know it's not a muscle, but it is filled with nerves like our muscles. And I'll tell you this, there are times when I had thought so much, I had to take some Tylenol and go lay down because my head hurt as if it was some muscle I had worked out too much. That happens. There are people that say this, I'd rather go out and work a field for an hour than have to sit and study a book. And so there's a variety of things. Paul was not saying that I want God to strengthen you while you learn the dimensions of the love of Christ because it might hurt your head. He's not saying because this is dissertation material. He's not saying that. I have not preached that. What Paul is saying is that when you start learning these dimensions, it is going to stretch you out so much, it's going to take you so deep, that you're going places you would never choose to go otherwise. And it's going to hurt. And you're going to need to be strong. And only the Holy Spirit can help you with that. A simple illustration, you remember several weeks back, we talked about Dr. Henry Brandt, good friend of mine, and how his boss used to call him in. And it would get on his nerves each time that boss would call his last name, Brandt, get in here. It was just too much. And so, but God strengthened him in his inner being so that eventually when he started to be called into the office, it was a matter of gaiety. It was just a matter of, okay, here we go. Let's see how it is today. And there was just this lightheartedness. Only God can strengthen somebody in that way. Then there's the other side to it, where we're doing what we can in a situation, but it's failing. And it's not going to continue to get better. It's going to continue to get worse. My dad's decline was like that. Just worked with him for a year and a half. Then he was in the nursing home. I was with him 3 hours every day. And he was just never going to get better. And you don't celebrate decline. The difference between a child in a home and an adult that have similar difficulties in their sleep schedules at night is that the child's going to improve. They'll eventually learn to sleep through the night. Their health is going to get better. Typically, that's just the thing. They grow. But you have an adult, they're just going to continue to decline. It's the nature of geriatrics. And when they have some particular malady, whatever it might be, the declination is going to be difficult. And you don't celebrate the declination. Oh, we passed this mile marker. Let's have a party. You don't do that. Whereas with a child, they pass this. They're sleeping through the night. Oh, yay, type of thing. And you just celebrate the continual progress that they make. I'd rather have a child in the home and be sleepless through the night knowing that one day that's all going to work out than continue to work with gerontology. So we might know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and so we get past this brainiac stuff, this dissertation work. We get down to where the rubber meets the road, and it's not a matter of knowledge. Now it's becoming a matter of experience. The breadth, the length, the height, the depth, experiencing the love of Christ. And that experience fills us with the fullness of God. What's that mean? That means that your life and mine is going to be evaluated by the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to want to bear this. What? He wants to bear the dimensions of the love of Christ, because that's the core of the being of God for eternity. We know this. God is Spirit. God is love. God is love. And we're going to learn to be that way in our relationships, and that's what will be unpacked with wives and husbands and wives, and children and parents, employers and employees. That all has to come out of the love of Christ. All of it has to come out of that. And that can only be energized by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now you're thinking, sounds like the Christian life is pretty much desperate. well, it can get that way. But it is dependent, that's for sure. So turn with me now to chapter 5. That's the foundation that we're laying. And by the way, aren't you glad Paul finishes with, "Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think." Because the situations you'll get into are like, good night. How about, we won't go into it, but Todd, how about Monday? we walked out of the court 11 over by the airport, and he's grinning ear to ear. We walked out with a dismissal of everything, and it was exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, wasn't it? Yes. Yeah, we just walked out thinking, what just happened? Pinch me. And we had prayed about it. I've been in court with a lot of people, and God's done a lot of things, but that was just so unexpected that we had to laugh all the way to the diesel truck. We just laughing our heads off, thanking the Lord. So God can do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. And there's other ways he does it, and it's a little more quiet. But you'll be glad for these, and you can ask for them. Let's go down chapter 5 to verse 6. Don't be deceived with empty words. I'm not going to wax on that. I just want to point out that if you're not walking influenced by the Holy Spirit, which himself will strengthen you in your inner being so that you know the dimensions of the love of Christ for every situation you're living in, according to your particular calling, your particular spiritual gifts. If you're not walking that way, you're being deceived somewhere with empty words. Some of the empty words might be, well, that's the higher Christian life, or no, that's deeper, that's for people that are older than me, or I don't know that that would apply. No. It applies every day. Well, I don't want to worry about it. You don't have to worry, please. I don't want you to be worried about what's it mean to be filled with the Spirit. I hope to unpack that simply this morning so that you will walk out of here saying, okay, I don't think it's as hard as I thought it was. It's not. It is for everyone, or Paul wouldn't say it. You mean a child? Absolutely. I'll tell you right now, a child can walk filled with the Spirit. Oh, they're not mature enough. He didn't say anything about maturity. Please understand that. So we'll unpack this now in a moment. Walking by the Spirit, by the way, being filled by the Spirit, influenced is to me the choice word. Being influenced by the Holy Spirit means that we walk as children of light. Verse 8, Ephesians 5, 8, this is all getting us down to our passage. For at one time you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. You understand being saved. You understand what a relationship with God is all about. You're able to communicate that, even in a halting fashion in which you say, no, wait, I misspoke. Let me back up and say it this way. But you're understanding these things and you're growing in them, and the exhortation is keep walking that way. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in this generous giving, this benevolence, doing what's right, and being what's true. Doing truth, sharing truth, being true. and try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. I love this phrase. That's almost like packed in there at the end. It's kind of like the little thing you throw in there. Your packing stuff, and it's like, oh yeah, throw some crackers in there. And you pack it in the end, so try what's pleasing to the Lord. Now, I really think this is the core. If you're growing in grace and learning to love, do you think that pleases God? And it covers all the variables. It covers everything that goes on in life. If you're walking in the light and you're generous and you're doing what's right and you're truthful, do you think that pleases God? And let me just share, I've shared with you before, Paul prays that way, that we might please God in every respect, we might please Him. But now listen, isn't that what I would call the oil of every relationship? What creates things that go smoothly? Isn't that the oil of it? Listen, it's the one emotional thing you can give God that He cannot get anywhere else. He can't get this anywhere else. You know that. One of these days, that little girl is going to be coming to you as her mama, and she's going to be coming to you with some little dandelion she picked from the yard. And you'll say, I give you 5 cents to pick all the dandelions in the yard. Get rid of them. No, but she's come in, you know, and she's, Mama, I got a flower for you. That just melts your heart. You're going to be pleased. And there are many other things like that. Pleasure. We can give God pleasure. That's a marvelous thing. And so Paul uses this not as the last little bit of crackers or a candy bar or I wanted that soda. Okay, throw that in there. That we're packing the bags with. No, Paul is using this, what I'm going to call the generic term, walk as children of light, be filled with the Spirit, grow in the love of Christ, because these are the things that please God. They just make His heart beat. Now, some of you know what pleases each other. You should work on that. And when Paul gets to these commands about wives and husbands, and husbands and wives, and children and parents and children, particularly dads, all of this comes out of influence of the Spirit so that we're pleasing each other. You think the devil doesn't know that? Of course he knows that. And so he wants to get in there and skewer every relationship, and he wants to skewer it in such a way that people aren't pleased. They're unhappy. And they're happy to show that they're unhappy. And there's just no pleasure in their Christian life. And who would be attracted to that? I want to get out of that church. All they do is fight. Then they have dinners. Act like they're making up. Chapter 5. So don't take part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Verse 11. Instead, they're going to have to be like surfaced and dealt with. Shameful even to speak of those things that are done in secret. So let's scoot down to this, verse 14. Therefore it says, awake, you sleeper. We might say that Jesus to on the road to Emmaus last week, Cleopas and his companion. You dullards, wake up. Let me show you the rest of the scriptures that you missed, and that'll really help your faith. These things were supposed to happen. You're so slow of heart. That's where Paul's going with this. He's saying to them, look, get up from the death that you were in. Christ will shine on you. And that's what we want. We want the Lord to intervene in our lives. We want divine intervention. Tell me you don't. Anybody here? I don't really want the Lord involved because I got a big business deal and I want it my way. Okay, you might have to work through some things. But I really want Jesus to shine on every part of my life. That's what Paul says. If you settle for anything less, it's no wonder you struggle or I struggle with a variety of things. Let Christ shine. So, verse 15, look carefully how you walk. Don't be unwise. Figure this out. Be wise. I love all this. What's part of being wise? Well, don't be drunk with wine. That's not wise. You know, or overdo your medications or other things. That's not wise. Be wise. Well, then what? Well, be filled with the Spirit. Well, that's going to be like dull. No. Stop. Time out. The Holy Spirit's intention is to teach you to love in all relationships. That ultimately works to pleasure. And that's what we live for, isn't it? just to be happy? Another word I'll use. And I said, no, we want joyfulness, because you can be joyful and not be happy. Oh yeah, you take your joy and run with it. I'll add happiness to it. Pleasing God, having Christ shine on my life, and things like that. Now, it just doesn't happen out of the blue. So I want to share with you how it happens now. Making the best use of your time, because the days are evil, therefore don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And Paul's not saying, I'll leave you hanging so you have to guess what the will of the Lord is. No, he's going to say, the will of the Lord for wives is this. And the will of the Lord for husbands is this. And the will of the Lord for children is this. And for parents, it's this. And for masters, it's this. And for slaves and employees who feel like slaves, it's this. And on you could go. See, when Paul says, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, Paul's going to unpack. This is some understanding of the will of the Lord. And the scriptures tell us the ways of God. The scriptures are designed, they're written so that we would understand the will of the Lord. And then we go to the Lord and say, you got to fill me with your spirit. You've got to influence me just so I can get this. And that way it pleases you. I'll be happier because I'll be pleased. I'm making some progress. And then people around me will have the right response too. I got to tell you something right now. Please bear with me. I got to tell you. If the people around me aren't happy and I'm walking with the Lord and I'm doing what I should be doing, is it my fault that they're not happy? Absolutely not. Was it Jesus' fault that Cleopas and his companion weren't happy? No. They were dull and slow of heart. That's why they weren't happy. Do you hear what I'm saying? My point is that you walk with the Lord. Walk with the King. Keep your life squared up. Some months ago, before my heart attack, I shared that the real Christian life is demonstrated by a clear conscience. Just keep your conscience clear. Do what the Lord lays on your heart. You take care of your business. Clear conscience. Divine intervention. And that's what we're going to talk about here. That's what the filling of the Spirit's all about. Divine intervention. You know, we got this battle ahead, General. What are we going to do? Well, lay the troops out like we had planned. I know, but it doesn't look like that's going to work. Yeah. So what are we going to count on? Well, I hate to say it, but divine intervention. We're going to have to have God step in and help us here. Frankly, the whole Christian life counts on divine intervention. If you don't have divine intervention, you're not really living the Christian life. Because God wants to intervene. God wants to be involved. He wants to start here, inside. Divine intervention here. He wants to influence each of us. I'm sorry to say it. I watch so many believers walk around, they're just sourpusses. They just have this frown on their face. They're not happy with anybody or anything. They do have challenges. I'm sympathetic to that. But come on. You got the Holy Spirit. You got the love of Christ. Again, in a moment I'll share with you how some of that works. So make the best use of your time by being wise, by concentrating on doing things the way God says to do them. Keep that conscience clear. Expect divine intervention. And so he says, I'll make it easy for you. We drink a lot of wine here in the Mediterranean. All our meals and everything, much of it's medicinal. Now, don't misunderstand this. Their water wasn't always good. They didn't have filtration systems and bottled water. This water's bad. Go out and get bottled water, son. No, they didn't have all that. How do we know that some of the wine was medicinal? Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, look, you've got all these gastrointestinal problems. I know, we've worked together and it's bad. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake. My dad grew up with an alcoholic father. The guy was a bum, although he lived to 91 to be a bum. It's a long time. And my dad went to his funeral, and my dad just stood there at the funeral, and he didn't know what to feel because he didn't really have a dad. He had a biological father, but he was never really a dad to my dad. They didn't play ball together or anything like that. It just hurt him. He wasn't sure what to feel. And I watched him the day of the funeral, and a tear formed and went down his cheek. And then I saw him steel himself, and that was it. And I thought, that is just not good. And I loved my dad. I took care of him. I was a good son, not perfect, but I gave him pleasure. I was happy to do that. I say all that because I honored my father with the wisdom that I needed in life. I would ask his thoughts on many things, my wife first, and then with her permission and blessing, my parents. Even to this day, I have a substitute mom, and I honor her and will often ask her thoughts. Why do I do that? I do it because I want to get what the Spirit's doing in other people's lives. Now, in this case, when Paul says to them, don't get drunk, he's saying, yes, you've all got wine here, but you're going to have to exercise some self-control. And what is that about? Get the influence of my Spirit. Don't drift into influencing yourself with other things that will numb you to whatever you're going through. I shared this at 8:45. I'm going to start to wind down with a couple personal illustrations here as we look through the rest of these verses. I was young, and in my early teens, I used to love to joke around a lot, and I went to my dentist one day, and I had deliberately, this is terrible, I don't recommend it at all, I had deliberately had a Chili's cheesesteak with extra onions. I don't do that. But I did it because I thought, onions, they'll like these onions. Not just joking around. And so I did. And of course, later, like, Jay. And I had brushed my teeth and everything, but the onions were still there. And so this is what they did. When they worked on one particular tooth in the back, they said, now you have a choice. We can either use Novocaine in your gum, or we can put you on, they called it laughing gas. I said, well, I'll try the gas. And so they did. They were doing something deliberately. And so I was kind of out of it. I could still interact with them and all of that. And I noticed they got me up. I was a little woozy. And I said, I'm a little woozy. Now you'll be fine. So I said, okay. And I signed whatever I signed. I went out to the car. And I was kind of getting more refreshed. And I put the keys in the door. I opened the car door. And I looked in the glass. Here was a great big red ring around my mouth. They had used lipstick and put a huge ring, kind of like with a little bit of a smile around my mouth. Yeah, to joke with me. It's like, yeah, you'll show up with onions. We'll put a ring around your mouth. I never forgot that. As I never did it again. Oh, so anyway, we can joke around. We can be foolish. But God says, draw a line when it comes to the Christian life. Do what's pleasing to Him. Be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit influence you. After that happened, I didn't like the experience much anyway. After that happened, I thought, you know, if I'm under the influence of something that allows me not to have self-control, I might be abused or I might abuse others. And that's not healthy. So I purposed from that point on, I did. Christ is my witness. I purposed from that point on that I would never lack control. I don't mean that I had to be in control of everybody else. I personally, though, was not going to be out of control. I had friends try to introduce me to various drugs and other things, and I said, no, why would I do that? I don't want to end up with lipstick around my face or whatever. No, not going to lack control. I wanted to serve the people around me and not be out of control. This happened with a dear friend. He and I worked together, and we were about an hour and a half away from where I lived. Laura and I were married, and he kept trying to introduce me to pot. And I said to him, what is your problem? I said, you're a born-again believer. What is your problem? Oh, every now and then, it's not a big deal, blah, blah, blah. And I said, are you in control with all of that? And he thought for a little bit and said, well, sort of. And I said, I don't want to hear sort of. And so one day, he did something he should not have done. He did a shotgun on me with a pot. And I was so mad at him, but I had to drive. I had to drive home. And I drove home looking at the North Star. I don't know how I got home. But I was so mad at him. When I got home, my wife had been getting unsolicited, foolish messages on the phone. Never got them before, never got them afterwards. And I thought, man, we have a demonic world. And he had attacked me and my wife the same day. Foolishness. I thought, never do I want to be out of personal control. I need to help. And I sat down with her and we prayed about it, and no calls after that, but it was just strange. When Paul says, don't get to where you're influenced by some substance, because that's excessive. No, you be filled or influenced by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. And there really is no excess there. You be filled by the Holy Spirit. Influenced is, to me, a better word. Influenced. Now, what are some of the easiest ways to be influenced by the Holy Spirit? This is easy. You say, Lord, how should I interact with so-and-so? And you find out what that relationship is. And you find out what the Bible says about that relationship. Parents and children. Friend to friend. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Or other things. You find out what that is. And then you use that as a template for that relationship. So your walking is wise. Because you've got some scriptural input on this type of thing. And that's what you use as your guide. You think the Holy Spirit will be in that? Absolutely. Jesus said, I'll send my Spirit. He'll help you remember everything I said. What do you mean? Just like we write it down? No, so you can do it. He'll help you remember it so you can apply it. January this year started with a bang. It was a great start this year. I was praying with people to come to Christ. It was just great. February was a very bad start. I have this heart attack. So I drive myself in. I'm not sure what's going on. Then they tell me, and you know the story. And I thought, what the world? In January, I had gotten a letter. Paul, I had gotten a letter from your brother Mike. And you might have a copy of it. I'm not sure. But I got this letter from Mike. And Mike was just so happy about what God was doing in his life and everything. And he thanked me for my part in that. And then he told me this. Mike had memorized Psalm 91. And he said this in the letter, and I have it. You all can see it. I've got the original. I've made some copies. But he said, Jay, I've memorized Psalm 91, and I'm praying tonight for you. Psalm 91. That whole psalm. Praying for you tonight. Psalm 91. He has told me since then that he has prayed Psalm 91 in addition to just that night. I've been in touch with him. He's doing well from his knee surgery, just as George is doing well from getting the metal out of his back and one part of his, I think, leg. Well, just yesterday, and I'm going to read it to you, because I hope this happens to you. It doesn't have to be a text message. I love this equipment that we have. So you need to know this. I've been rather discouraged of late for a number of reasons. God's working. Things are going well. But just a lot of things. This is how to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. We have this impression that being influenced by the Holy Spirit is something we do. So we get ourselves in a position where, okay, I'm ready. Still ready. Just waiting to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. That might be partly true, but you ought to be living in such a way that God just intervenes all the time. I will testify that that's the way I've lived for decades, my wife and I in particular. And the children know that. In fact, Mike, we found the book that has all the answers to prayer that you had read. Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
That was like a month ago. Melody found it, going through all this stuff. Melody's great. If you ever need your house cleaned out, call my daughter. She's just great at this. But anyway, back to this text. So I had some problems with I don't take Coumadin, I have warfarin to keep my blood thin so I have no clotting with my porcine mitral valve. But I had some problems bleeding yesterday. And they've given me instructions on that, and I was about to call and go into the ER. But it began to clear up. And right around the time we were successfully redressing it, I get this text. Now, this text is an example of being filled with the Spirit. Hang on. You say, I didn't know it was objective. Oh, stop. Of course it's objective. May God strengthen you in the inner person by His Spirit so that you might know the love of Christ, its breadth, its length, its height, and its depth, which surpasses knowledge because you'll experience it. And God, who can do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think, can do this. And He does. And we live for God to show up. And so this is what... Good day, Pastor Jay. This is from George Davidson, our George. Good day, Pastor Jay. Praying that you're successfully continuing on your journey of healing. I find so much encouragement and wisdom in the Psalms. In Psalm 91, 2, and 14 through 16, I find you. Man, I tell you, he had my attention. I thought, yeah, let me look that up. What is that? But he quotes it. My prayer becomes this. And I want you to think of this. This is the Holy Spirit encouraging me in a crisis. Now, do you have the same Holy Spirit? Now, that's the only reason I'm sharing this example. I always go through what I preach, and this is fresh. This is fresh. This is right out of the garden. Jay will say of the Lord, He is my strength and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Because Jay loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him because he acknowledges my name. Jay will call on me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation, end quote. And he continued, that's you, Jay. And I was thinking, what though? I've never had gotten anything like that in my life. Now, Mike Crowley starts with Psalm 91 in January. George Davidson, and Mike's praying that for me, George Davidson personalizes it and sends it to me in a text yesterday when I have the danger of bleeding out. Now, is that divine intervention? I'm telling you, I want you all to have this. Don't go to anything else to be influenced. Don't be deceived. Don't be unwise. Don't live in the dark. Walk in the light. Do what you know pleases God. Expect the Holy Spirit to influence you. And then step back. And this comes out of the blue. I wouldn't sit in there saying, okay, Lord, I got a problem. You got to have somebody text me. It'd be nice if George were to text me. No, you can't make this stuff up. God just does what he does. That's all. God just does what he does. Is God doing what he does in your life? Is he working? You see, we want that. We want it. I'm not going to browbeat you or pound on you, be filled by the Spirit. No, why would I do that? Paul just says, look, don't get caught up in this stuff that doesn't work. And you live with wine every day. And some of you live with too much of it. And so get that away and let the Spirit be your influence. And the result will be divine intervention. And your heart cannot help but vocalize what God has done. Is that true or not? Man, I'll tell you, when God does something, we want to walk around and tell everybody, hey, you won't believe what God did. Okay, relax, settle down. I'm filled with the Spirit. So, may God bless you all. May God encourage you. My prayer for all of you is that you'd be filled with the Spirit. He would influence you and you'll be happier. See, my goal is that you're happier. You're pleasing to Him and to each other. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. What a joy it can bring to our lives. That's what your Spirit wants to produce in us. As He influences us, He wants to make us loving. And He wants to make us joyful. And He wants to give us peace. He wants us to help suffer. He wants us to help us suffer long so that we can endure. So He helps us in our long suffering. He makes us more good in the people's lives around us and kind. And He strengthens our faith. And He helps us to be meek, gentle, and to have self-control. My, oh my, that's the Holy Spirit's work I want in my life and for everyone around me. I pray that you would do it. That is your will for us. We ask anything according to your will. We know you hear us. That's my prayer. That's your will. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Four seventy. Let's close with this. We'll just sing verses 1, 2, and 3. We'll end with the third verse. So 1, 2, and 3. Let's stand together. And we'll close with 470. And may God bless your afternoon. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where Thy footprints falling lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountain, seeking His sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains, helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. God bless you.